This is KVNF's regional newscast for Monday, July 12th. I'm Gavin Dahl. Friday was the hottest day in Grand Junction's recorded history. The Sentinel reports the National Weather Service issued a heat advisory for western Colorado, including Junction, which reached 107 degrees, breaking all previous records. The U.S. Forest Service released on Friday the final environmental impact statement for the Burlamont Estates Project in Eagle County. This project, which environmentalists have been fighting for over 10 years, would allow developers to build 19 new mansions with 9 accessory units on 680 acres in the middle of the White River National Forest. According to Wilderness Workshop in Carbondale, who vowed to keep opposing the project, the Forest Service is expected to approve a paved year-round road through sensitive wildlife habitat to the properties. The USFS now has 30 days to release a final record of decision. And at the Conservative Political Action Conference in Dallas on Saturday, Representative Lauren Boebert said, quote, "We're here to tell government we don't want your benefits, we don't want your welfare." She was criticized on social media for hypocrisy based on a claim that her restaurant, Shooter's Grill and Rifle, took PPP funds, but it did not. That was a different Shooter's Grill in Ohio. There's plenty of evidence that many of her constituents do take advantage of government benefits. For example, within the 3rd Congressional District, over 30,000 families receive SNAP benefits, formerly known as food stamps. Colorado mountain towns are declaring housing emergencies as high prices and low inventory lead to worker shortages. In Steamboat Springs, city leaders are eyeing short-term rentals as a possible culprit, and as Scott Franz reports, a recent decision to put a halt on them is causing friction between businesses trying to bounce back from the pandemic and residents who want to free up housing for locals.
After a year of coronavirus restrictions and canceled travel plans, thousands of tourists have been flocking to Steamboat Springs to cool off in the Yampa River.
Where are you guys from?
Kentucky.
Funtucky?
That's right.
I love that place.
Today, dozens of people are lining up outside Peter Vandekar's river tubing business.
Is it rough water?
Well, define rough. You know, I mean, for me, it's scary as heck. But I'm kind of a chicken.
He started 35 years ago with a single limousine to ferry tourists down the river. And now, even with droughts causing shorter tubing seasons, his numbers are off the charts.
I mean, there's days where we'll put 600 people on the river. Last year we did about somewhere between 15,000 and 16,000 people. I mean, that's probably like 4,000 or 5,000 above just an average summer.
But all of those tubing, hiking, and skiing visitors need a place to stay. And that's where things are getting complicated.
There's 10 homes on this street, and 3 of those homes are vacation rentals.
Tori Wadnick has lived near the base of the ski area for 20 years. She says the spike in tourism and vacation rentals is changing the character of her street. For starters, the hot tub next door is always full of strangers.
There have been many nights the kids have asked to sleep in a different room, sleep on the couch because they can't sleep with all the noise that's coming from the hot tubs.
As we walk through her neighborhood, she points to other problems. Out-of-town guests are leaving their trash outside, which attracts bears, and
we have a lot of people pull into the neighborhood staring at their GPS, trying to find the unit that they're renting and not paying attention to the kids who are playing tennis in the street or riding bikes.
But most of all, Wadnick says they're taking away homes that could be rented or bought by local workers. The ongoing housing shortage has made it hard for her to hire enough workers for her event rental business.
It's an emergency for employers, it's an emergency for employees, for families, for teachers, for firefighters, regular people who make this town tick.
Wadnick is so concerned, she pulled over onto the shoulder of Interstate 70 last month to call into a Steamboat City Council meeting and ask for a timeout on vacation rentals.
We deal with major disruption in our lives. And on the flip side, we aren't able to hire anyone because people in this town don't have a place to live.
Council members, including Kathy Meyer, agreed. And in a first-of-its-kind decision in Colorado, they voted to pause new applications for 90 days.
Day after day, this council is getting complaints about the impacts of neighborhoods and the bad actors that are ruining it for a few people out there who do rent out their homes.
More than 200 vacation rentals are registered in Steamboat Springs, but that's only a small slice of the pie. City records show more than 4,000 active short-term rentals, with most not needing the type of permit the city is trying to regulate. but the decision to pause even a small portion of them is stirring up controversy.
We live in a resort community. We are not Denver. We are not San Francisco. We are not that.
Sarah Bradford owns a vacation rental company managing about 40 properties. She fears the council's action will be misinterpreted as the city saying no to the very tourists she counts on for business.
That's hard when I hear people say, you know, shut the door behind us, we're the last people in. I don't like that sentiment in Steamboat. And I think it's because so many people showed up during the pandemic. We all felt a little defensive during the pandemic, like, don't get near me. And it just proliferated that sentiment.
Bradford is not against adding more regulations, and she agrees there should be limits on where they can be to limit the impact on neighborhoods. But she fears over-regulation.
We need to open our arms again and welcome these people back in. They're really great people that come to visit, for the most part.
The city council estimates short-term lodging generates more than $3 million in tax revenue each year, or about 11% of the city's entire general fund. And they are not sure how many of the units might otherwise be rented or bought by local workers. But one thing is already clear. The city's young professionals are having a hard time finding places to live. Jay Dickert is a personal banker who is looking to buy his first home.
Just about every place I've looked at has gone under contract within about 3 days of going onto the market.
He's already looked at 15 places without making an offer. After he finishes his cocktail at a happy hour downtown, he's going to look at number 16, a one-bedroom, 450-square-foot condo listed for $400,000.
And a good majority of those places are going sometimes 10, sometimes 20% over asking, like crazy numbers, and a lot of it's in cash too, which makes it hard to compete when money's coming from out of town.
It's such a drastic change that we're losing the people who make us who we are, who make us this kind, welcoming, fun, interesting, exciting town to live in.
Even with 90 more apartments of workforce housing being built on the west end of town, and state lawmakers considering spending hundreds of millions of American Rescue Plan dollars on housing next year, Tori Wadnick says the city does not have any more time to study the issue.
The longer that this goes on and we don't fix it and make it not free, not a handout, but a place where people with hard work can survive and thrive, I think our town will change forever.
Meanwhile, other mountain towns are starting to consider their own actions on short-term rentals. A petition is circulating in Frisco and Summit County to restrict them. And Pagosa Springs in southern Colorado is kicking off a survey this month to find out the impact on workforce housing. The pause on vacation rentals in Steamboat Springs lifts in early September. I'm Scott Franz.
That does it for Monday's KVNF Regional Newscast. Special thanks to Kate Redmond. I'm Gavin Dahl.